Father, I just pray that truly, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight, and ask, Father, that you help me to say exactly what I should, and Father, that you would be glorified in it, and that your people might be blessed and strengthened, encouraged, challenged, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to share with you a message tonight that I believe will help you to have a great year. I'm going to use the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. So that's for me, not for you, all right? I'm gonna try to keep it simple. Sometimes we get things complicated when they don't need to be complicated. So I'm just going to give you four main points to, no, five. Wait. Anyway, here it is, all right? A life of blessings. You know, if we had our choice between a life of blessings or a life of miracles, most of us would say, oh, I want the life of miracles. That sounds exciting. Well, that would be just too cool to have a life full of miracles. Well, that would be really spiritual. But you know, as we grow in the Lord and we mature as a believer, we see the blessings of God on our life every day. You know, there's still times when we need a miracle. There's times when we get in a crisis, a situation where we just need a divine intervention that supersedes the natural order of things. That's a miracle. And God is still in the miracle business, in spite of what religious people might try to tell you. And I'm using that term religious in the bad sense of the word, the religion of man. I'm just telling you, there are people out there that will try to tell you that, well, God doesn't do miracles anymore, but we know better. And by the way, there's always going to be people who will deny the existence of miracles. Do you realize that even when Jesus himself did miracles, that there were religious people that stood by and did not believe? It's amazing. And when push came to shove, they would even say, oh, well, he did this by the prince of devils. But I'm just telling you, God still does miracles. And I don't want you to take the message wrong tonight. From the very beginning, I want you to understand God does miracles, and that's an awesome thing. When God does a miracle, signs and wonders are supposed to follow believers. There should be miracles in our life and in the lives of those that we are around. We should believe God for miracles. And we should especially believe God for miracles to meet the desperate needs of the lost and the hurting and the broken that we come in contact with. That's what Jesus did. Jesus healed the sick. He cast out devils. He set people free. See, Jesus did miracles all the time. But did you notice that it was always for somebody else? You know, Jesus could have turned the stones into bread. Not just when the devil tempted him. He could have done it all the time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus on the cross could have called 10 legions of angels. He could have done miracles for himself, but you don't really see that in Scripture. But you see him setting the captives free and healing the sick, casting out demons. You don't see him doing miracles for his own personal needs much in the Scripture. You know, he fed the 4,000 and then he fed the 5,000, but you realize that normally the disciples just paid for their food. I just want you to get the right perspective about miracles here, because I'm telling you, we should have miracles happening in our life. But what we really need to be experiencing on a daily basis is the blessings of God. Living a life of blessings. Jesus taught us to pray. give us this day our daily bread. See, it's a daily blessing that God provides our food. He provides for our needs. You know, I want to say this. We've seen a lot of people miraculously healed. So nobody will ever tell me that God doesn't do miracles. I'm ruined. I've seen too many. I know better. But as wonderful as that is, it's even more wonderful when somebody just has divine health, when they're just walking in health and don't need a healing. To never get sick, not ever be hospitalized, never have to have a miracle. Now, here's something for you to think about. Do you realize God never promised you a life of miracles? But he has promised us in the scripture, there's many, many, many promises that God has promised us a life of blessings. It's available to us. This book is a book of blessings. Genesis chapter 1 speaks of blessing. All the way to the very end of the book, Revelations 22, it speaks of blessing. Over 500 times, blessings are mentioned in this book. God is a God of blessing. He likes to bless his people. He wants to bless his people. He wants us to be blessed. And you need to know that. You need to know that God is a good God and he wants to bless you. What's it mean to be blessed? Now, I hear some preachers today just simply saying, well, it just means to be happy. Listen, that just kind of scratches the surface, because to be blessed is beyond happy. I'm telling you, it is your well-being. It is your whole person. It's not just that, you know, you're happy about your situation, but it's, well, one way to look at it is, you know, blessed is the opposite of cursed. You know what it is to be cursed? That's when nothing goes right and everything looks sour. Blessed is the opposite. Another antonym for blessed is miserable. I want to be the opposite of miserable, don't you? That's blessed. It is when we have that favor of God, talked about Sunday, it's when we have that favor of God on our life, that's blessed. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' first recorded sermon, his first word was blessed. He gives the Beatitudes. I just want you to realize how much this is a part of our daily life. And sometimes we are just not really even aware of all the blessings that are available to us. You know, the scripture promises us all kinds of blessings, blessings of health, blessings of family, success, prosperity, blessings of joy and peace, a blessing of victory, blessing of the presence of God in our life, blessing of divine protection, divine provision, all kinds of blessings that the Bible speaks of. In fact, if you just go home tonight and read Deuteronomy 28 and read all of the blessings and how it talks about how they're going to come after you. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, well, that's under the law. That doesn't apply to us. I got some news for you tonight. A lot of Christians seem to be confused about this. We've been delivered from the curse of the law. Nowhere does the Bible teach that you've been delivered from the blessings. I'm just telling you, you haven't been delivered from the blessings. And we have a better covenant, not a lesser covenant. It's amazing how some people want to take all the power out of the new covenant and say, oh, well, you know, under the law they had this, but we don't have that now. We got a better covenant because of Jesus. The curse of the law has been removed. But I got to tell you, there are so many blessings that are available to you all through the Word of God. Now, you know, miracles are not hard for God. And we should always believe Him for miracles. But even better, we should believe him for a life of blessings. You need to know this. Now, miracles are supernatural, but I'm telling you, when you live a life of blessing where God just blesses you every day, that's supernatural too. It's God doing it. And you know, as we grow in the Lord, we learn to live in the blessings of God more and more and more. You know, a lot of times miracles get explained away by those that don't believe. That most of us have experienced some kind of a miracle in our life. And I'll just give you an example of how I experienced a miracle many, many years ago when I took my car in, didn't have a lot of money, and car needed to be repaired. It wouldn't start. And well, they replaced several things. They, you know, first they said, well, it's this, and they replaced that. And then they said, well, it must be this, and they replaced that. And they finally got it fixed. And, you know, I was feeling the pinch, thinking they're running up the bill, fixing this and then fixing that. And the service manager, he comes out to me and he says, don't worry about the bill. There's no charge. Now, for me, that's a miracle. That doesn't happen. I mean, I've had it where, you know, the bill's more than it was supposed to be. I know what that happens. But when they say there's no charge, wasn't under warranty, wasn't anything like that, that's a miracle. Now, I've had a lot of car repairs since then. And every one of them, there was no miracle, but I was blessed that God had given me enough that he provided for me to be able to pay for that. And I'm just telling you that sometimes God brings us along where we're not having to believe him for a miracle in crisis mode because we have the blessing of God on our life and we're growing. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if you need a miracle that you must be missing God somewhere. But I'm just telling you that sometimes Spirit-filled believers especially get in this mode where they want to live from miracle to miracle. Now, how much better? You know what's better than needing a miracle and getting a miracle? To not need a miracle. To just every day have the blessing of God on your life where you're not in crisis mode. That's better. Amen? He doesn't want us living from paycheck to paycheck. No, he wants to bless us with abundance. He wants us to be givers. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm telling you, people that don't have any money don't usually do that. That's not the way he wants us to live. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. See, he don't want you living from miracle to miracle. No, he wants us living in his blessings all the time. See, God can miraculously provide for you today. But if you're not experiencing the blessing of God on your life every day, well, it'll just be a few days and you'll need another miracle. And then another miracle. I'm telling you, we need to understand that there's a life of blessings where God just provides for us, where he just takes care of our needs. Miracles usually come in those crisis situations. But how much better to just have a blessed bank account where you got plenty of money to take care of your bills and help somebody else too? You know, the Israelites had clothes in the wilderness that they wore for 40 years. Did you know that's a miracle? Now, ladies, how many of you would like to be blessed with that miracle? No takers. Now, come on, you don't want to wear the same clothes for 40 years. Most of you won't wear the same clothes for 4 months. I mean, or 4 years, much less 40 years. They don't ever get a chance to wear out. Now, how much better to be blessed with an abundance? See, the Lord can do a miracle in your family relationships. He does that. I mean, if your family is in crisis mode right now, and your marriage is in trouble, I'm telling you, God can do a miracle. But let me tell you where you want it to go. Not where every month or every year your marriage needs another miracle because you're about to get a divorce. No, he wants to take your marriage to the place where it's just blessed all the time. You can get so stressed out and full of anxiety that you're just about to pull your hair out, about to go crazy. You need a miracle, and God can just sweep in and give you his peace miraculously. But you know what's even better than that? When you just walk in the peace of God every day, you have that blessing in your life. Oh, how much better. You know, even after the children of Israel went into the promised land, there were miracles like the walls of Jericho falling down. But there's something that was really different there. And listen, in the wilderness, they were just believing God just to make it through another day. I mean, believing God for their needs to be met. But they go into the promised land, and now they're not believing God just to take care of their basic needs. Instead, they're believing God to take territory from their enemies, to possess the land. And I got to tell you, as believers, God doesn't want us always believing him for a miracle just to take care of our daily needs. No, he wants us to be believing for greater things. Amen. His kingdom will come. That we're advancing the kingdom of God, taking territory from the enemy. Amen. You know, Jesus taught us not to be focused on our basic needs, but a lot of believers are just worried about getting their needs met. How much better to be blessed? So how can we have this life of blessings? Here's the 4 points. First one is, first, you got to put him first. We're going to read Matthew 6, 25 through 33. Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, Jesus makes it very clear that we're just supposed to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We don't have to chase after stuff. And our heavenly Father already knows the things that we have need of. I'm just telling you, we're not supposed to live from miracle to miracle. The birds and the lilies aren't getting a miracle. It's just the blessing of God on them. And we're supposed to live that way, just with the blessing of God on us, as we seek first his kingdom. See, when we're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, he just blesses us with everything else. He takes care of everything else. He said, don't worry about it. In the King James, it says, take no thought. Don't even give it a thought. Wow. Just to be at that place where you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to give it a thought. How's that happen? You put God first. That's a life of blessings. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, when you honor the Lord with the first fruits, you're putting him first. Now, I want to explain something to you about this. You see, it's so important that you put God first, because if you don't put God first, it's going to greatly limit the blessing of God in your life, because God can't really bless you when something else is first. Let me put it another way. The Lord can't really bless you when something else is your God. When something else is first, something else is God. Now, most of us know better, at least in our head, we know better than to put money or possessions or material things first. Do you know what? One of the things I've seen good church people put before the Lord, family. Oh, pastor, you better not go there. Family's important. I know. But don't make family God. I knew a family one time. They were good Christians. They served the Lord. They went to church regularly. They loved the Lord. But really, they put family first. And it all fell apart. Their family fell apart. I'm just telling you, when you put God first, then He blesses everything else. Family included. Finances included. But you got to truly put God first. Otherwise, we think that whatever it was, you see, if we were blessed anyway, then whatever we have been putting first, we think that's the source of our blessings. Second, to live a life of blessings, you gotta believe. I'm just telling you that almost all of the promises of the blessings of God have to be appropriated by faith. You gotta take God at His word. Remember, the children of Israel missed the promised land and that land of abundance for 40 years because of unbelief. And when that unbelieving generation died off, then a new generation that had the faith to believe God was able to go in and possess the land and enjoy the blessings that were there for them. Think about this. The children of Israel in the wilderness were depending on God every day for a miracle. Listen, when food comes down out of the sky, just appears on the ground, that's a miracle. And that manna appeared every day for 40 years. But how much better it was when they went into the promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey, and there was so much abundance and so much food, and they didn't have to eat the same thing every day anymore. So much better. How'd that happen? They believed. And I'm telling you that in your life, you got to believe. Galatians 3, 6 through 9, in the NIV it says it this way, consider Abraham, he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Those who believe, those who have faith are blessed. I'm telling you, if you're going to live a life of blessings, you got to believe. You got to believe that God is going to bless you, that He's going to take care of your needs. Third, if we want a life of blessings, let me back up. Let me tell you, I want to clarify one more time. You see, if you're not really believing God for the blessings, then if God was to bless you anyway, what's going to happen? You're going to take it for granted. You're going to think that it came from somewhere else. But when you're believing God and then you're blessed, you know it was God. So important that you believe. Third, if we want to live a life of blessings, we have to obey the Word of God. Did you know that one's actually not that hard if you get the last one? You see, if you really believe what God has said, then obeying God isn't that hard. When people disobey God, it's because they don't really believe what God said. But I'm telling you now, God will do miracles for people even many times when they've been disobedient. We've talked about this before. We talk about healing. Jesus never turned anybody away for healing and said, well, you old rotten sinner, I'm not going to heal you. Jesus will do miracles many times. In his grace and his mercy, he'll do miracles in people's lives, even when they've been disobedient. When they're in crisis mode, he will step in grace and mercy and do a miracle in their life. But I want to tell you, the blessings of God many times are dependent upon our obedience. He will not bless disobedience. Here's that clarification again. You see, if God blessed disobedience, we would know it was really God doing the blessing. If God blessed disobedience, then people wouldn't even serve the Lord. Isaiah 1:19, listen to this. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Well, that couldn't be much clearer, could it? And I want to clarify this to you. You can't earn the blessings of God. We're not living by the law trying to earn God's blessings. No, if none of us can get God's blessing that way. It can't be done. We can't ever get to the place where we're perfect or where we deserve God's blessing. See, by being obedient, we're not trying to earn the blessing of God, but it puts us in the position where God will bless us. When we refuse to obey him, we've put ourselves out from underneath that blessing. Two major misconceptions about obedience and blessing. The first is that you can earn it by keeping the law. Can't be done. We all need God's grace because all of us have broken the law. The second major misconception, though, is that because of grace, it doesn't matter what we do. Yes, it does matter what you do. Listen, the law of sowing and reaping still applies in our lives. And a lot of the time when we come to know the Lord or maybe we get things right in our life and we begin to serve God, I'm telling you, as we serve the Lord, you see this life of blessing start to happen where you're no longer living from crisis to crisis, but just experiencing daily blessings in your life. Anybody understanding this? Y'all kind of quiet on me. Listen to what Jesus says about obedience. Jesus, New Testament, right? New Covenant. Jesus says, Matthew 5:19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If you think that obedience is not important, you need to talk to Jesus because he makes it clear. Luke 11, Jesus talks about, well, there's a woman that calls out and says, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. See, and a lot of people talk about how blessed Mary was. Well, she was blessed, but Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You know, there's a thing now in this religious culture we live in where, you know, people who don't really serve the Lord, don't live for God, don't put God first, don't obey God, but they say, oh, but I love the Lord. No, you don't. What are you talking about? Jesus said, the one who loves me obeys me. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Verse 23, John 14. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. It's even in the Great Commission. I think God's going to hold a lot of churches, a lot of pastors accountable for not teaching people to obey God. Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Don't teach them it doesn't matter how they live and what they do. And I got to tell you, as a pastor, I don't want to see people's lives messed up. I want to see you living in the blessings of God day after day, that God is just blessing you. Now, I'm going to say it one more time. That doesn't mean that we don't ever need a miracle. And God will do miracles in our life. But how much better it is when just day by day, we're just walking in the blessings of God. The blessing of God on our children. The blessing of God on our home. The blessing of God on our finances. The blessing of God over our car protecting us. Amen? Just the blessings of God overtaking us. One last passage about obedience. It's just so important. You see, there's such a difference when you really obey God and when you don't. Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my word or hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great." He's talking about our lives. Fourth, if we want to live a life of blessings, we have to be grateful. We got to always realize, always acknowledge that it's God. Never just take it for granted. Listen, never in pride think that it is our own wisdom, strength, or abilities, or goodness that has attained whatever it is we have. But always realize it is a blessing from God. He's blessed us. I mean, you need to realize how blessed you are. If you know the Lord, how blessed you are to be his son, his daughter. How blessed you are to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. How blessed you are to have the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to comfort you, to teach you, to be with you. How blessed you are to have his presence, his indwelling presence. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. How blessed you are to have the Word of God. How blessed you are to have peace and joy. How blessed you are to have food and clothing and shelter. How blessed you are to have family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. He's blessed us, church. The scripture says he daily loads me with benefits. Those are blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. You see, sometimes we take for granted this, the daily blessings of God. And we need to be careful to give him thanks every day, just to be grateful. See, if you're not in crisis mode, you don't need a miracle right now. You got so much to thank God for then. And even if there's an area of your life where you're just like, okay, I got to have a miracle in this area, you need to be thanking God for all those other areas of your life that are just blessed. Just want to run through a couple of verses with you. Psalms 107, verse 8. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Psalm 100, 4 and 5. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations." One more. Psalm 92. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." I'm telling you, we're supposed to be giving him thanks all the time. And here it is. You see, if we're not giving him thanks, what's happened? We think it's our own goodness, our own smarts, our own ability, our own work ethic, our good genes that made us healthy, whatever. Listen, If we're not giving him thanks, it's because we don't realize, we're not acknowledging the blessings are from him. God is not going to bless you when you don't give him thanks for the blessings. I'm telling you, if you want to live a life of blessings, you have, it is not just to add on. It's not just a little side issue. It is a big deal. It is a necessity. If you're going to live a life of blessings, you got to learn to give God thanks every day. So often, it is the daily blessings that we just take for granted. Now, you could multiply this 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways, but one guy illustrated it this way. He said, 6 o'clock came and no sign of the dawn. At 7 o'clock, there was still no ray of light. At noon, it was as black as midnight and no bird sang. There was only the hoot of the owl. Then came the dark hours of the black afternoon. No one slept that night. Some wept. Some wrung their hands in anguish. Every church was thronged to its doors with people on their knees. Thus they remained the whole night through. In the morning, millions of eager, tear-wet faces turned toward the east. And when the sky began to grow red and the sun rose once more, there was a shout of great joy. Now millions of lips said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." All of a sudden, the sun coming up seems like a miracle. And so many blessings that we have in our life that we just take for granted every day, if they were gone from our lives, then how much we would realize what we had. And I'm just telling you, living this blessed life, you got to give God thanks every day. Ceasing to give God thanks is one of the first steps of a heart turning away from the Lord. Romans chapter 1, where it talks about how men turned away from God and became so wicked, it all started with this, that although they knew God, they didn't give him thanks, and they didn't glorify him. That's how man turned away from God. And you know what? It is still that way in every person's life. The first step in turning away from God is that they stop giving God thanks. So important. If you're going to experience his blessings in your life every day, you got to put him first. You got to believe. You got to obey him. And you got to give him thanks. Pretty simple. A life of blessings is a grateful, thankful life. And it's for you. And I want to tell you, at the end of this year, I hope that every single one of you can say, this has been a blessed year. I have seen the blessing of God in my life. Look back over this year and just see rich blessing, increasing blessing, growing blessing, the blessing of God upon your life. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to pray. I'm going to let you be dismissed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon our lives, upon these families, these homes. Lord, I thank you for your blessing upon our church. You're so good to us, Lord. You're so faithful. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that as we go out from this place and we look around and we see the hurting and the lost and the broken of this world, Lord, I pray that we would realize, Lord, not only how blessed we are, but how much they need you. I pray, Father, that you give us a heart of compassion and use us, Lord, Lord, to share the blessings, to show others the way, to help somebody else to know this wonderful God who desires to bless. And I thank you for it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.